Let's turn again to John's Gospel, chapter 11. Beginning in verse 17, let's hear the word of God. When Jesus came, he found that he, Lazarus, had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing this morning as we open your word. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you will illuminate the scriptures to us, that you'll open our hearts and our minds to receive them. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Word of Lazarus's illness had reached Jesus, and after he waited an additional 2 days, he tells his disciples that he's going to Judea. The disciples are not at all keen on that idea, because the life of Christ was in danger there, and quite possibly their lives as well, as being close followers of his. And, you know, we know that the path that we're called to walk on is not always a path that we understand. God directs us. He opens doors for us. He takes us through things that make no sense to us. That we sometimes say, "Yeah, God, I trust you. I love you. I'm a servant. Oh, why are these things happening the way that they're happening?" It's not uncommon when we find ourselves in difficulties to have counselors who are like Job's friends. And they'll come about us, and while these folks are no doubt well-meaning, they're just dead wrong. They just don't understand what God is doing. They have ideas, you know, that they come up with for some reason, but they don't always know. We see in the situation with Christ and his disciples that a lot of the time, Jesus' disciples would fall into that category. Jesus would say, "We're doing this," and then he would be challenged by his own men. Remember in Matthew, he talks about he's going to Jerusalem, and there he's going to be put to death, and Peter says, "Ain't happening. Not going to go. That's not going to, as long as I'm standing here, it's not going to happen." And Jesus rebukes him. He says, "Shut up, Satan." Yeah, it says, "Get behind me. You don't know what you're talking about." Peter meant well. He just was wrong. These guys, the disciples, walked with Jesus every single day for 3.5 years. They were personally taught by the Master. And they still, even as the ministry of Christ wound down, they still were not fully aware of what Christ's mission was. And beyond that, they were oblivious to their own role that they were going to be playing in the establishment of Christ's church. Nevertheless, they were still devoted to Jesus. They still were faithful. And then we see back, I'm backing up one verse to 16. It said, Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Thomas makes this declaration. Look, if Jesus has his mind made up, he's going to Judea. We know that the Jews are out to kill him up there. We might as well go along and die too. Don't you like cheery friends like that? Of course you do. Yeah, well, all right, he's gone. I guess we might as well go die. Thomas, we remember, was plagued with doubts. Yet he was still a faithful servant. He was still a disciple. Yet he struggled with doubts in his walk. And even after Christ had died, and we'll see later on in this book, you know, that when news of the resurrection comes, he says, no, I don't think so. I don't think that happened. Thomas didn't believe that Jesus could handle himself going into Judea. So he says, all right, let's go die. Nothing else going on, we might as well, right? Yeah, okay, we'll just go die. Well, they take their journey. And once they get into Bethany, Jesus finds out that Lazarus has already been dead and in the tomb for 4 days. Bad news travels fast. They probably saw Jesus coming down the road, and somebody runs out there and say, hey man, you know, we understand why you're coming here, but you're a little bit late. You know, if only you'd have showed up here, you've been okay, but you're a little late. It's 4 days. And the fact that Lazarus has been dead for 4 days is a significant fact. Lazarus is not laying in a tomb just in a coma. Okay? He is not partly dead. He's not mostly dead. Miracle Max could fix him. If he was mostly dead, he'd just put that old bellows in his mouth and pump him up, and away he'd go, right? He was completely dead. Completely dead. And this is crazy. This is meaningless. But if Miracle Max says that if he's completely dead, the only thing he's good for is going through his pockets and finding loose change. He's completely dead for 4 days. Now, that's silliness, okay? There's some more silliness associated with this story that it's not commonly told. But there was a rabbinical tradition that said, and by the way, this is in no way based in Scripture. It was an idea that somebody concocted somewhere along the line. They thought it sounded good, and so the rabbis kind of taught this to people, that a soul that has departed hung around for 3 days, hoping for a chance at reunion with the body. That's absurd. That is so wild. You know, it has absolutely no basis in Scripture, but they taught this stuff. And after the third day, the soul would understand that the body had entered into a state of decomposition, and so there was no chance for a reunion. It would just have to go on, go out, you know, go about where it was going to go. Obviously, that's not true. But because it was a tradition, because it was a teaching that was held by some of those guys. There were probably some of the Jewish mourners that had gathered around Mary and Martha who would grab on to a story like that and say, oh, you know, there's still hope, Mary. You know, we know Lazarus is not completely gone. He's hanging around here. Just, you know, maybe. Such a bizarre tradition. I wonder how often that happened. Think about that. Somebody died. Yeah. How many accounts do they have of the dead people getting up in 3 days? Thinking it probably didn't happen very often. So why do they continue with such a thing? But they did. There were many people who had come to mourn with Mary and Martha. A lot of the Jews who had been opponents of Christ were still faithful to their traditions and helping, you know, coming to console the family and mourn with them. And just as we see, as Jesus is coming down the walk, he receives the bad news of Lazarus's passing. Good news is presented to Martha. He says, Jesus is coming. He's coming up the walk. He's coming up the road. And Martha, when she hears that, responds. She hears that Christ is coming. And she leaves her house and goes to meet him. I think primarily her reasoning is because she wants to be with the Master. She wants to be comforted by the Son of God. Some believe because of the Jews that were in the house mourning with the family, that Martha went to warn Christ of these people that are there because they don't like him. They want to dispose of him. They think she possibly went to you know, just give him a heads up about what was waiting for him if he came into town. But it's all speculation. All we know is she ran to meet him. Now, oddly enough, she didn't look up her sister. It says, because Mary just stayed sitting. The word came that Christ was coming up the road. Martha takes off. Doesn't tell Mary. Mary still stays sitting in the house in a state of mourning. I think that when we have a relationship with Christ, that our hearts and our minds cannot help but run to him. When times are difficult, we run to Jesus. When times are going well, we run to Jesus. We know that he alone is the source for all that we need. The family of Lazarus had a relationship with Christ. And we can easily imagine a scenario where Lazarus is laying in the other room near death. And Mary and Martha are walking about the house with the words, if only, on their lips. If only Jesus would come. If only we could get word to him and he could get here quickly. If only, because then we know that Lazarus would be fine and we wouldn't have to worry about these things. The They had a faith, a God-given faith. It was a faith that motivated them to believe that if Jesus was there, he could help. And what's more, their faith was such that it was not only if Jesus was there, he could help, but he would help. So Martha runs and she meets Jesus. And while she may have been walking about the house, you know, with the words, "if only," going on, she meets him and she says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." We need to be certain that when we read the words of Martha, that we understand she is not rebuking Christ. She is expressing grief, and she's expressing her faith. She is sorrowful for the loss that she's experienced, but she has full faith that Jesus can do something about it. If you were here, my brother wouldn't have died. In fact, being here 4 days after he's passed, Jesus, I know that God will do whatever you ask. How could she know that? How could she know that? How can you know anything? It's by the grace of God. By God's own grace, putting faith in your heart, giving you the ability to believe. Jesus says to Martha, "Your brother will rise again." Now, the idea of a resurrection was not foreign to the Jewish people. The Jews, however, were divided in as it concerned that doctrine. The Pharisees absolutely believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection, which is why, never mind. Lazarus's family believed it. Martha and Mary believed in the resurrection. They believed that surely one day, at the last day, their brother would again rise from the dead. And when Jesus makes this statement that your brother will rise again, it would be easy for Martha to assume that Jesus is giving her a theology lesson. And she says, "I know. I know that he will rise in the resurrection at the last day." You see, she's not ignorant of the truth. "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Then Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection." As we've seen before and we'll see again, that phrase is everything. When Jesus utters the words, "I am," he is declaring his deity, saying, "I am God incarnate." He's saying to Martha, "I don't have to ask the Father. I can just do it." If a body is restored to life, it's because Christ does the work. The resurrection at the last day is a guarantee. It's guaranteed to all believers. Why? Because Christ rose. Because Christ resurrected. We all have that event to look forward to. He defeated death. So that death has no permanent hold on anyone. That's important. We don't need to be afraid to die. We don't need to be afraid of this existence ending. Because this is not all there is. This is just a precursor. We just have to get through it. We can, you know, God put us here. And we can enjoy this life. And we'll enjoy this life mostly when we enjoy God. But if we live to 150 years, we haven't started living. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Life that is everlasting. Every single one of us will pass through the door of death, save for the return of Christ. Every single one of us is going to die. But because of Jesus, the curse of death is removed. Because of Jesus, the sting of death is taken away. Our loved ones pass away and we mourn, and rightfully so. Because there is a separation. But for believers in Christ, that separation is a temporary one. There will be a reunion at some point. I tend to believe that. I also tend to believe that when you come into heaven, the glory of Christ is going to be so much, you're not going to be able to think of anything else. Our loved ones that go in Christ, they're going to be there, and we'll probably run into them. Well, not literally, but you know. But the glory of Christ is the attraction. Seeing God in all his fullness is something that we'll never see in this life, in this mortal life. And our flesh will rest for a season. But the life continues. We don't have to be afraid to die. Thing is, we're in Christ. That new life starts now. We live a new life while our feet are walking this earth. We get a head start on it. Paul wrote to the Philippians in a verse that you all know. Philippians 1:21. He said, for me to live is Christ. But to die, that's gain. While I live this life, I can enjoy it because I'm walking faithfully in the presence of the Almighty. And once this life is laid down, that reality blossoms. The life that's given to all who believe. Martha professed her faith. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into this world." She believed Jesus is who he said he is. When Jesus said, "I am the resurrection," she says, "Yes, you are. I know that. I believe that." She professes her faith. Have you professed yours? Is that faith a reality in your life? Let's pray.